Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. Are you ready for today? Are you ready for today? If you are ready, I want to see your hand up and shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lift up your right hand. Father, thank you. We give you praise. Spirit of God, grant us grace for this morning. May your people receive insight into your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Can I hear your amen even louder? Hallelujah. A week ago, I started the series on focus. The power of focus. Tell somebody the power of focus. And then I spoke about the blessed man of Psalm 1. Psalm number 1, verse 1. Psalm number 1, verse 1. It's a very, very important scripture. Psalm 1, verse 1. Read.
Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
Read it again.
1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
But
his delight is in the law of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in his law he meditates day and night.
Blessed is the man. Say it after me. Blessed is the man. Say it after me. Blessed is the man. The man in Psalm 1 was not blessed because a pastor poured oil on his head. Can I teach it to you? He says, blessed is the man who did certain things, who avoided certain things and upheld certain things. Three things he did. He chose not to sit in the way of sinners. He chose not to go after the counsel of ungodly people. In this year 2019, I pray for you that if you will take pressing decisions, it will not be the counsel of ungodly men. I pray that you would strive for the counsel of godly people so that you do not get distracted. If you want to remain focused, you ought to learn these three things. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. There are people that mock elderly people. There are people that would laugh at pastors. There are people that will mock people. Even when you are preaching in churches, even when you are going to church, somebody can say, where are you going this early morning? Jesus is saying, the word of God is saying that blessed is the man who does not entertain mockers. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. Because there are some company, if you dip, you end up with sin. So this blessed man of Psalm number 1 did three things. He avoided the pathway to sin. He avoided the seat of the scornful. He avoided the counsel of ungodly people. And then when he was avoiding those three things, the Bible says he kept two things religiously. Two things he did very faithfully. Number one, he delighted in the law of God's word. Lift up your right hand. Say, my delight will be in the law of God. Hallelujah. Bring me the smaller one. My delight will be in the law of God. The first thing you do in the morning when you wake up is not to pick your phone. Can I preach it to you? And you not get offended? Glory to God. The first thing to do to receive the blessing of God is to make God's word your delight. When that word is your delight, then The second thing he did was he had a two-day shift. He had a morning shift, and then he had an evening shift. And what was he doing? He was not working three jobs at McDonald's. He was not working three jobs at KFC. He was meditating on the Word of God every morning and every evening. Somebody say focus. Every morning and every evening. Because he did these three things and two things, the Bible says he became a blessed man. You are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
You are favored, say amen.
Amen.
You will make it, say amen.
Amen.
This is a priestly blessing that I'm releasing upon you. It works. It works because God has mandated us as priests to do that. But then, if you do not keep focused, if you do not remain focused, even though we have pronounced a blessing on you, you will not see anything. If we say you are blessed, God is going to make you fruitful. You are going to own houses. And you go sit down and don't do no job. That blessing doesn't come to pass. You need to remain focused. Tell your neighbor you need to remain focused. Focus is the act of concentrating on something, an activity, or paying particular attention to something. We began the year, February is about to end. I said last week, there are many families here who don't have any mission statement. A family, like an organization, needs a mission statement. This is why we exist. This is what we are meant to do. This is what we want to achieve this year. Certain families have taken upon themselves to support missionaries. Certain families have taken upon themselves to take care of orphans. Your family needs a mission statement. You need it. And anybody who is unable to list their reasons for existence on earth is no different from somebody in the cemetery. You just don't have to live. God has kept you alive. Yes, praise the Lord, he's done that. But for what reason? Why are you alive? And don't tell me it's to work in the HFC bank. No. He kept you alive for a certain reason. And it's to make the life of other people better, number one. Number two, it is to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you cannot do these things without focus. The Christian race has been filled with a lot of gimmicks. And I receive, I claim it, I do this, and nothing is happening to us because we have failed to remain focused. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. The Bible says, rising up a great while before day, he went into a solitary place to pray. And this he did daily. Successful people are people who have been able to master great habits and focus. This Jesus did daily. Every day in the morning, around 2 a.m., 3 a.m., he rose up. Today, people will get up at 2 a.m. and they're on Facebook. Glory to God. People will get up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and they're on Instagram. Jesus got up at 3 a.m. and he was in solitary ground. Gethsemane, I said it before, was not a place of quiet time. He was not doing any quiet time at Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, Jesus Christ was engaged in spiritual warfare. Focus, his ability to focus in prayer made him successful in his three-year ministry. He only did full-time ministry for 3 years, and to date, we all speak about him. I pray for you that as we enter this year, you receive the ability to focus, and then men will hear of your great success. Shout amen.
Amen.
Focus, it might surprise you, is an ability of the Holy Ghost. So somebody will say, what about those unbelievers who are not saved? How are they able to focus? Well, the truth is this. You can develop the habit of focus even without the Holy Ghost. But for those of us who have the Holy Ghost, it's an advantage. Because there is no force, there is no spirit, there is no power so focused in this world or in the world to come than the Holy Ghost. So focused on the assignment. Jesus was 12 years old. He was not doing Instagram with boys. He was sitting in a temple. He was engaging theologians. He knew what he had to do. You have to know your assignment. You have to know why he's kept you alive. Excuse me to say, there are better people than you who died. They did not reach where you got into now. He's kept you alive for a reason. And it is not to apply the foundation on your face and the mascara on your face and daily just do that. He's expecting you to reach out and change lives. He's expecting you to reach out and bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ. Focus. The blessed man is not blessed because they poured oil on his head. He's not blessed because he went into a certain place to pray. He's not blessed because he saw this prophet and he said some words to him. He's blessed because he kept focused at doing certain things. And if you will keep focused, you will be so blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the attribute of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21. I read. He says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk on it, when you turn to the right or to the left. Wow. Your ears, say my ears, shall hear a word. This is why I'm saying God is interested in your ability to focus. He says when you get to the crossroads and you don't know whether to make this decision or this one, he says your ears will hear a word behind you saying, my son, it is this way. My son, the partnership should go this way. My son, it should go this way. And then he will teach you to profit. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17, he says, I am the Lord, I teach thee to profit. I lead thee by the way you should go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and you'll be surprised. Focus is an ability. It's a gift of the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3.
You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you.
It says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? It says, the Lord shall keep you in perfect peace, if your mind is stayed on him. If you are able to keep focused on the Lord, then you are guaranteed one thing, perfect peace. How many of you are looking for perfect peace? The answer is in this one. Keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, he says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. If you can stay your mind on the Lord, you will be blessed with three things. When you are able to focus, he will give you perfect peace. When you are able to focus, you are able to maximize your goals. When you are able to focus, you are able to achieve more than your usual average. When you are able to focus, number one, he will give you perfect peace. Number two, you'll be able to maximize your goals. Number three, you'll be able to achieve more than your usual average. Number four, you will not be distracted. When you are able to focus, this is what God will do for you. I'm praying for you that in this year, we will see focus in your Christian life, focus even in your financial life, focus in your marital life, focus in your academic life, focus in your career, and in everything you set your hands to do. I told you the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a servant to the king of Persia. And he looked back. Say, look back. You know, there are certain things that are good to look back at. You look back on the family, look back home, look back at some people, and see how they are doing, and see if I could cause some changes in their life. That is not a distraction. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah looked back and saw that the walls of Jerusalem were broken. And he said, oh, I'm going to focus and be with this thing. The moment he said that, people rose up and started to ridicule him. Anytime you set a goal before you, anytime you set a certain objective before you, there are people who will just laugh at you, they will mock at you, they will just ridicule you. But just keep focused. Tell somebody, keep focused. It doesn't matter what they say to you. You know what? He started building the wall. He started building the wall. Then there were three guys. One of them was called Sambalat. The other was called Tobiah, and the other was called Gershon. Three people. They decided to kind of distract this guy. So, Pa, come around. You'll be Nehemiah. And you working on building this altar. And so he's seriously working. And can I have Morris and BMF and a third person, Ben, come quickly. He's building. This is Nehemiah. He's building. And these three guys come around. And they're like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they're like, oh, we want to build. I like the way they are distracting him. You see, three people came. All right. Don't go ahead on my preaching now. Wait. Come on. So these three guys decided to distract him. I'm speaking from Nehemiah chapter 2, okay? And then I'm going to go all the way to verse chapter 6. Nehemiah 2:19, they said, when they heard that he was building, they came to him, stand there, builder, and they said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm rebuilding the walls. And they said, oh, this thing you are doing, even if a fox walks on this, it's going to break. Oh, I am surprised that people could predict that a broken wall that was about to be mended was going to break again when a fox walks on it. Wow. Any predictor of negativity in your life, any predictor of negativity in your destiny, I shut their voices now in the name of Jesus. I speak for you. You will succeed. As you focus, you'll be blessed. The focus family is a blessed family. The focus husband is a blessed husband. The focus man is a blessed man. You are blessed. You are receiving an ability to focus. When you don't know what to do, he says that you will hear a voice telling you, this is the way. I pray that any debris in your ears that prevents you from hearing the voice of the master be removed now in the name of Jesus. He can even tell you the type of dress to wear. Yeah. He can tell you the type of woman to marry. Say, I hear you, young man. It's not this one, it's this one. Somebody say this one. Now, what is interesting is that when these three guys realized they could not stop him from the work he was doing, they left. And so they left. And so they are leaving. They are leaving now. And then in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 1 to 4, they started sending messengers. So they decided to send Theophilus. And they said, take a letter and go and give it to him. So he came with a letter and he gave it to Nehemiah and said that the letter said, we want you to meet the three of us at a restaurant somewhere in Laboni. And he said, I will not go. Then the messenger went. Then they sent another messenger a second time. I'm talking about distractions. He's building. They came around. They couldn't stop him. Then they sent one messenger. He didn't yield. Then they sent a second one. He didn't yield. Then they sent a third one. He didn't yield. Then they sent a fourth one. Oh, you have no idea that the little thing you are building is of a bother to some people. The little time you decided to focus on this thing to do, people have decided to interfere not once, not twice, not thrice, but four times. Why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? Why are you partnering with this person? Why are you working with this person? They are trying to destroy something. Nehemiah said something to them. He said, why should I leave? For I'm doing a great work. Why should I leave and stop the work of my hands? Do you have that? Read it.
So I sent messengers
which
to them saying,
Nehemiah?
Nehemiah 6 verse 3.
6 verse 3. Can you make that microphone better? I'm speaking. Go on.
So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?
Listen to me. If anybody comes to you with a destructive agenda, tell them I am doing a great work. Even if you are building a little house, a little store, even if it's a little school you have started, even if it's something little that you cannot see many people with it, I want you to have this testimony on your lips. I am doing a great work. He was just building walls, but he said, I'm doing a great work. Why should the work of my hands cease? Can I prophesy to three people listening to me that the work of your hands will not cease in this year 2019? Any Sambalat, any Tobiah, any Geshon that shall come round to cease the work of your hands, that God shall remove them from your midst in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 5. Nehemiah chapter 6.
Then Sambalat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand.
He sent another messenger the fifth time. Look at it. One thing you decided to do. 5 times he sent people to come. It shall not work. Glory to God. Even when you read on for time's sake, they then sent a prophet. Somebody say a prophet. Somebody say a prophet. Look at Nehemiah 6 verse number 10. He says, afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah. And then he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. And then I said, should a man such as I flee? I want you to say that to the ignorant people that surround you when they are trying to give you some negative predictions. He said you are going to die. Nehemiah, you're going to die. Tonight, they are going to kill you. So I want you to meet me in the temple and let's close. And Nehemiah says something to them. Should a man such as I run away? I don't know you. I want you to say that to diabetes. I want you to say it to high blood pressure. I want you to say it to cancer. I want you to say it to an autoimmune disease. Should a man such as I run away from you? Oh, you didn't get me. You didn't get me. Any distraction. Distractions can be in the form of sicknesses. Distractions can be in the form of losses. I want you to tell that distraction. Should a man such as I flee and not try again? As you try again, may God grant you the success you need. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Nehemiah 6, he said, and we built the wall within 52 days. Then the enemies, when they saw it, said, how could this be possible? How could they build a wall in 52 days? How could they repair this destruction only this short time? Then those little enemies that came said, this must be the work of God. I came here with prophecy on my lips for 5,000 people listening to me right now. That the thing that they said you could not do, the things that they tried to stop you from doing, you are about to do it in a record time. I prophesy the next 52 days that God shall build something new in your life, that people shall look at you and say, this is the work of God. Hallelujah. This is by the hand of God. This is by the finger of God. This is by the signature of God. All you have to do is to focus. Say, I will focus. You need to focus. No pastor can do that for you. You need to develop a habit of reading the Bible. You need to develop a habit of praying. You need to develop a habit of fasting. Focus. Don't let your focus be broken. Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story? A pastor friend of mine was on a long fast. And as he was fasting, lying in his room, Nehemiah, you can sit down. Then the wife knocked on the door. Don't look at my wife's face. Prophet, don't look at my wife's face. It's not my story, it's somebody's story. So on this fast, and he's inside the room, and why are you laughing, Lady Stella? It's not you, I'm talking about somebody else. And so even the pastor was on this long fast, and when he was really meditating and concentrating, there was a knock on the door. And the wife held a piece of chicken in the hand like that, and just entered the room and said, you want to try it? And so I turned back, the pastor. Glory to God. So the pastor, I turned back and I was like, I beg your pardon. The pastor turned back and then was like, you are really trying to distract me now. He said, well, it's really good. You want to try it? And so he took the chicken and he looked at the chicken and said, oh God, can we continue the fast next week? And took a bite. And after that, he said, I'm going to talk about you in church next Sunday. And he's doing it right now. So I said to her, I just finished preaching about focus last week, and you just aided me to break a fast I started. That little piece of chicken was a distraction. Little piece of chicken. Romans calls it the passing pleasures of sin. 1 minute, and after the chicken had gone down my esophagus into my stomach, I remembered, oh, why did I break my focus? And then I said to the Lord, can we continue the fast? And there was no answer. I'm praying for you. Little things like chicken. Little things like, can we go to the bar? Little things like, can we go visit somebody? There's a story spoken about a woman had only one child. They lived around Legon, the university. A certain evening, his friends came to him. I'm speaking like Joel Austin. There's a story said about, I have a story about this woman. A friend came to him and said, we want you to go with us to a certain place. The mother said, don't go, because he was doing his assignment. He was writing his thesis. And then he said, oh, it's just going to take 30 minutes. I'll go with them. He got distracted. They set on a journey. The vehicle was involved in an accident. There was only one death. And it was not a driver. It was not the friends. It was the one they picked on the way. When we break our focus, we can lose out on a lot of things. Mrs. Lot broke her focus. Don't look back. She did. And then God threw something on him, on her, and she turned into a pillar of salt. A young prophet had gone to minister. God said, don't look back. Don't turn to the left. Don't eat in this place. Another prophet came to him and said, God told me to tell you that we should go. Liar. Somebody say liar. Liar. I pray that you have the grace to be able to discern prophetic lies. I pray you have the grace to be able to discern false prophecies. God spoke to him. I said to the Timothy camp we had yesterday, that when it comes to the matter of destiny, it's better you hear for yourself. When it's about destiny, you should hear for yourself. Because he heard for himself that God said, don't turn. And somebody said, God said, turn. And he turned. And the Bible says, a lion ate him up along the way. I'm praying for you. You may not turn into a pillar of salt. You may not be eaten by a lion. But if you break your focus, you may be frozen in time. Your progress will be lost. That is what it means today. But I pray for you now in the name of Jesus, that the distractors that shall come your way, like Sambalat, like Tobiah came to Nehemiah, God shall push them away from you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 I'll tell you another story in the Bible. You'll be surprised. Three men came to Jesus. Three men. Wonderful men. Come, three guys, quickly. They saw Jesus and they said, we want to follow you, Master. Yes. And then he said, are you able to focus? They said, yes, we can focus. He said, that's fine then. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57 to 62.
Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.
Listen to him. Listen to me now. It says one person came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you wherever you go. This is great testimony, right? I want to follow you.
And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
Jesus says something to him that this whole journey is a journey of focus. It's a journey of focus. You have to be focused. You like the glory you see, like the young people that are designed to be in ministry now. Why do you want to be a prophet? Why do you want to be a pastor? Why? Is it because you'll be able to speak before people? No. This is the end result of focus. What I'm doing here today is the end result of focus. Preparation, prayer, staying alone, praying, reading the word. The three came and said, we want to follow you. And he said to this first one, he was a precipitate disciple. He was just, I want to follow you, I want to follow you. You know, people are precipitous like that. They just want to do things. And then he said, oh, it's okay if you want to follow me. But on the quest of this journey, we will have to sacrifice our comfort. That's what he meant by foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. But we may not have a place to lay our head. I have spent days in the bush praying, not because I didn't have a home, but because I was focused on achieving something. Glory to God. I've spent days without my wife and children, somewhere alone, seeking grace. Why? Because of focus. So he said the same thing to him, and he said, uh-oh, I cannot sacrifice my comfort, so I'll see you another time. And he walks away from the greatest tutor of all time, Jesus Christ. Then he says to the second one, you, follow me, just like he called Peter, James, and John. The three Galileans, the day Jesus said, follow me, they dropped their fishing nets, and they were focused on this journey. He said to the second person, follow me. And then what did he say?
Lord, let me first go and bury my father.
He says, I'm ready to follow you, sir. I'm ready to be focused on this. But you know what? I got to go bury my father. You know why he was lying? Because in those days, they buried people the same day they died. So this reason he was giving was just something to get him to go back home and probably be... He was distracted by his family. Can I preach it and you won't be offended? He was distracted by his family. There are many people God has been calling into ministry. They have been distracted by their families. They have been distracted. Sometimes even your wife can distract you. Sometimes your husband can distract you. I have a doctor friend of mine. He said for about 1 month, anytime he woke up to pray at night, his baby girl would wake up. And then he thought it was a coincidence. Every night at 3 a.m., he got up to pray, then the girl would get up. The girl would cry and cry, and he has to stop. So after it happened about 4 or 5 times, he was like, no, this is not right. So when he woke up now, he laid his hand on the baby girl and said, I cover you with the blood of Jesus. Any destructive spirit that wants to use you, your crying, to disturb my prayer, I shut it up now in the name of Jesus. That was it. The next time he woke up to pray, the baby did not wake up. You see, sometimes the enemy can use even your mother to distract you. You have to love them, but you have to see beyond that distraction. One time Jesus said, I had to go die on the cross. Then Peter came and said, Nada, you cannot die. You cannot die. I love you so much, sir. I will not let you die. I'm going to cut their ears off. I'm going to do this to them. Then he looked Peter in the eyes, like I'm looking you in the eyes. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. What will you do if your husband looked you in the face and said, get thee behind me, Satan? What would you do if your wife looked in your face and said, get thee behind me, Satan? Am I Satan? Am I Satan? Am I Satan? Are you calling me Satan? No. Jesus saw beyond that. He saw beyond it. Sometimes your family members can be a distraction. Sometimes your mother could be calling you when you decide to pray. And I've said several years ago, there is no emergency when you are praying. Mm-mm. There's none. There's none. The second one to Jesus. Jesus called him like he called Peter, James, and John. He was a procrastinating disciple. He said, I will do it, but I have to go and talk to my people. Jesus said, okay, what did he say?
No one, having put his hand to the plow.
Well, then there was a third guy, all right? So the third guy also comes, irresolute, undecided. I like the third guy. Jesus said, come on. He says, I need to go bury my father. I need to go bid my family farewell, okay? So you said I need to go bury my father, right? Come stand together. They were all about family. Hey, I like your height. So, listen to me. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Can we preach it now? Let the dead bury the dead. Will you not be offended if I teach you the truth? There was only one dead man physically. Only one dead man. But Jesus is saying to him, go tell them, those people, leave those dead people around the physically dead. and let the dead bury the dead. It means anybody from a bishop to an usher, anybody here who refuses to live a life of focus is like a dead person. Let the dead bury the physically dead. Let the dead in mind, let the dead in focus, let the dead in principle, let them bury that dead man physically. But you go and preach the kingdom. That's what he said to him. And then the most terrible thing and fearful thing that he said that day is that no man, read it so that they don't think I'm fabricating it.
No one. Having put his hand to the plow. And looking back. Is fit for the kingdom of God.
Is too fearful. He didn't say no one having put his hand to the plow and left it. He said no one having put his hand to the plow and looked back. He didn't leave it. He didn't leave the steering wheel. You put your hands on the ministry. You put your hands on the choir. You put your hands as an usher. You put your hands on the ministry of cleaning the church. Okay? He says there's nobody who should put his hands to the steering of the ministry who does this and then takes back. That is fit for the kingdom. He didn't leave this. He was still holding it. Why did he turn back? He got distracted. Have you seen somebody sit apart from Mr. Bean? I don't think anybody sits in a car, starts it, and looks back and is driving backwards. We go forward. Jesus said something that I was afraid when I read it. He said, no one having put his hand to this plow and look back is fit for the kingdom. He didn't have to leave it. He only had to look back. I pray for you that you will not look back. I pray you will not be distracted. I pray you will not be distracted. I pray you will not be distracted. Not by family, not by relatives, not by the dead who are out of focus, not by them, but you will stay focused, you will stay resolute, you will not be precipitous, you will not be procrastinating like these three men. You will be focused on your assignment. Say I'll be focused. Focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Be seated. A popular scripture, and I want to close now. A popular scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. We love quoting it, and I'm going to teach you out of it today.
2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Mm-hmm. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, a sound mind.
Lift up your right hand. Say after me, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Three things. It says we have not received the spirit of fear. We have received spiritual power. Somebody say spiritual power. We have received spiritual love. Somebody say spiritual love. Then spiritual sanity. Say it, spiritual sanity. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. The word sound mind there is a focused mind. It's a disciplined mind. A mind that says, I will pray an hour a day and it does it. A mind that says, I will not sit among sinners and does not do it. You see? A mind that says, I'll wake up and read a chapter a day and still will do it. A mind that says, I'm focused on missions and will do it. A mind that says, not because I moved out of my... I remember sometimes I've been on a flight and I was still fasting because I was already in a fasting before I was traveling. A focused mind is a blessed mind. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Focus. Don't look back. You are a preacher. We call you to preach tonight. You say, I can't preach. He says, no one having touched this and look back is fit for the kingdom. We call you a worship leader. Can you sing? He says, I can't do it because I got offended by somebody. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, you did not leave it. Notice, you didn't have to leave it. You only had to be distracted and you had a red card out of the game. I can't tell how many pastors are in pulpits today whom God has declared unfit for the ministry because they've been distracted by business. Can I preach it to you? They've been distracted by certain things. No man. No man. Don't be distracted. The Bible speaks of a certain family in closing. In Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. Ruth chapter number 1, and verse number 1. A certain man called Elimelech. He was married to Naomi. And they had two sons. Just listen to me as I close now. Say, I'll be focused. Say, I will not look back. Be focused. Write that song. Write that book. Set up that company. Try that proposal again. Tell that young man, look, I still love you, man. Say something. Do it again. I told you last week, I wrote one book in two nights. Focus. That's the power of focus. And it's not a booklet. It's almost 200 pages. I wrote one book in two nights. One book. And you watch two soap operas in two nights. And added no value to yourself. Focus. You don't like me now. Focus. What's the difference between you and the one in the cemetery? Because for that person died last year, and you have had the chance to live almost three months into the new year, and you have added no value to yourself from last year. No value whatsoever. What is your goal for this year? This year, what is your goal? Oh, we just leave it. 2019 is a new year. Come on, here we go. No, you need to add value. Say, I'll add value. I'll add value. Say, I'll add value. Yes. Focus. One man, he's called Elimelech. He had a beautiful wife called Naomi. Two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were in Bethlehem, a blessed city. Then there was a distraction. What was the distraction? Famine. The Bible says there was famine in the land. And because of that distraction, he packed bag and baggage and said to his family, let's go. We're going to Dubai. We're going to the United Arab Emirates. We are going to greener pastures. I believe that he wasn't the only person that left Bethlehem in that famine. So why is it that heaven is interested about him and his decision to migrate? And the Bible decides to record this in the books of the Bible. The migration of one man. One man that got distracted by famine. Famine will not kill you. You know why? Because God had chosen the family of Elimelech to be one of the gateway for the Messiah to come. So when they went into Moab, they were there for 10 years. The sons got married. They married women from Moab. You know what happened? A time came, the man died. Remember Lot's wife? Remember the young prophet? The man died. Then the two sons also died. Is it not strange? It looked as if a certain spirit wanted to wipe away every memory of that man from the earth. Because the death of that man was not enough. His two sons also died. And then the wife thought, let me leave this place and go back. Return to your place of focus. Fix those camera lenses again. Take it back into focus. Focus on something to do. She went back there. When she was going, Ruth, one of the wives of the sons who had died, said, I will follow you. I will go with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She was so focused. If Naomi was that focused in the beginning, she could have saved the husband. So where are you going? Let's stay. There are wives today who are not focused. All they are focused on is their hair and the mascara and the nails. There are men who are looking for women like Ruth. He says, don't go. Go. I'll be with you. Wherever you go, whether you turn to the right, I'll be there. There are men not looking just for beauty. Can I say something to the young ladies? And you still love me. And then I'll close. The weaponization of your body cannot last a lifetime. Should I say it again? The weaponization of your body cannot last you a lifetime. Weaponize your mind. Oh, you don't love me now. It's all right. Weaponize your mind. Weaponize your mind. Add value to yourself. Say, I will add value to myself. Say, I'll be focused and not distracted. Please rise to your feet and clap your hands for Jesus.